Was it God's grace that brought Paul to the end of himself?
You know,
that's all he's getting.
No, it was God's grace that brought him out of it. God's wrath. It's the recognition of the curse that brought him to the end of himself.
But both were the movement of God.
Sure.
Yeah.
John, are you, well, Joe, can you take me to the doctor?
Mm-hmm.
I have to be there at 9:15. we're honest with ourselves, how often do we really put His will and His desires above our own? Often are we consumed with what He desires versus what we desire? How often do we want our own happiness? We look for happiness. I think we've talked in many times in the past about this issue of happiness is an illusion. Actually, it's worse than an illusion. If you're seeking happiness, you say, you, for your disciple, you must desire God's will above your happiness. And this will produce affliction. That's its purpose. We believe that our perceived need is what will bring us happiness. But that's always a trap. Always. And unfortunately, there's some amongst us who haven't even a clue of what that means, because they still consider their own happiness as the issue of life. But that, you've got to hear this, any perceived need is a trap. Remember, most of you had no idea what I was talking about a long time ago, and I used to talk about how that any time you went to any place other than the Father for your, you know, the scriptures call it your wine, your corn, and your oil, but for whatever it is you need, or you think you want, or your needs are, if you went anywhere but to the Father, it was fornication. But now once you're betrothed at Passover, then that has to come clear, that you've got to start going only to Him for whatever the perceived need is. Because it may be that way it loses its ability to be a trap for you, because you offer it up to Him and then you forget about it. But if you go after it, and that's not just a thing, it could be an idea or a good idea or anything. It could be like, a $30 million healing center. But whatever it is, it becomes trapped. And that trap will keep you from the love of God.
And the worst thing would be if you actually achieve that level of happiness that you're looking for, because you think it was all worth it. And so, it's like...
For a little while.
Yeah, and then the emptiness eventually. For that moment, you'd be totally filled with it.
Paul said, for a light affliction which is but for a moment worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. I believe he's talking about this denial times a day. Something is put in front of you, or some idea comes to your mind, and you don't stop and think, oh, this will bring me happiness. But you normally think in terms of, it's axiomatic, you don't think about it, but it's just, this is the bottom line. I think this situation with this idea, this plan, this purchase, this whatever, this will make things better somehow. I mean, we see it, I see it constantly. And, you know, that's what advertising is based on. That's why I've said so often that, you know, every invention of man is an attempt to flee from the revelation of Christ. And that's true in history, but it's also true in you, in us, every second of every day. Oh, I've got an idea of how to fix this, or I've got an idea of how to improve this. Do you understand me? Does anybody understand this?
The things that you find out have to do with this world, and, you know, flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of heaven, so it's just all about stuff that is doing me.
Every single time anything like that happens, our goal is to desire God's will above whatever it is that we want, or our will, every time. And I promise you, every single time that happens, that'll produce affliction. But this affliction, which is just for a short while, will produce the peaceable fruit of righteousness. And the more you are exercised in this arena, the more it'll become natural to live in that arena. Now, some of you have never even gone to that arena yet. You're still back here in the trying to do God's will, but use God in order to fulfill your own happiness. You understand? I hope you do.
The test is simple. If it gets interrupted or frustrated or isn't worshipped, if it causes ajuda, you know what to do.
Causes what?
Ajuda. You know what ajuda is.
We'll wait for
funny feeling.
We'll wait for Mr. Scruggs while he blows his nose. Oh, God. This is terrible. To love God is not an emotional feeling. To love God is a surrender. It's to relinquish and to abandon ourselves to Him every moment, regardless of how we feel or what our mind talk says we think or desire. Every moment. It means to set aside our life so that His life comes forth. And that takes a different form in each one of us, because each of us have a different office in the body of Christ. But it doesn't, there are no big things and there are no small things. There's only, are you setting aside your so that He will be revealed, or are you insisting on yourself? This is especially true in interpersonal relationships. How often, especially, it's more probably true in marriage more than any place else. But it's probably it's true. The way we live, it's true all the time. You can see it every second. I mean sometimes something's going on around here where it's being manifested.
Yeah, I was thinking we all spend more time with each other, you know, than most married people. We're always bumping into each other nonstop all day long.
But this surrendering ourselves or laying down our life for the other person's need There's always, is what it means, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal bodies. Now, the reason this issue of the gates is so important is the gates are these things that you love, or the things that you are giving importance to, will be in direct violation of it. In fact, they'll come so far as to be that most of the time you will have already have put God's name on those gates. This is whether it's God wants me to have a successful marriage. I hear it. God wants me to have God. But God's name is on your gates, your the things that you love. And that's heresy. Now, you may not say that you've put God's name on it, but the very fact that you've hung around here as long as you do and still have them, it's implicit that you've put God's name on it. Right? Right? Somebody give me an example to make sure I know you understand. What if you put God's name on it?
One thing is just like if you take the example of this community, and we've all got our things that we do in relation to each other here, and the way we imagine that we're supposed to be doing it, you know, then okay, so that's the highest thing, and when something comes along and
interrupts it,
screws it up, or you know, then that's when you really get that self-righteous, you know, unleashed thing that whoever it was that screwed up my project and my role that I'm supposed to be doing. You know, like I've got this little Bible study all lined out, and something happens and doesn't. I don't get to my point. You know, whatever. You know, I'm down the line to digging a ditch.
Harry, anything come to mind?
I don't know where to start. Well, yeah, the first thing.
Pick one.
First thing is that obey the rules.
No, I'm talking about this thing about around here where you
obey
put God's
rules.
Name.
Obey the rules.
But that's, you haven't put God's name on that.
Huh?
You haven't put God's name on that.
Yes, I do.
Well, what is putting God's name on it is believing that it will make God, it will please God if I obey the rules.
Or somebody else does.
That's what
it says. And with Harry, it'll please God if somebody else obeys the rules.
But that's when you can put that.
She took that others obey the rules.
Yeah.
Right?
When you say putting the name of God on the gate, that's kind of what I see. What I perceive, what I'm doing is making God happy. And that's why I should, you know, press on.
Does anybody ever really stop and think, oh, what I'm doing is making God happy?
Well, it's programmed.
Huh?
In some schools, and you know,
but you ever think about that actually?
No.
Well,
God.
You ever really stop and say, "Oh, this is making God happy"? Like, you really think about that?
Yeah.
You're the only person in the world I've ever met that thinks like that.
It's self-serving. It's self-righteousness.
No, I know. I'm saying I don't think you do it. I don't think you walk around and say, "Oh, this pleases God." In your mind.
It's not God the Father that's pleasing.
No.
It's just something that's written on the pillar somewhere. You know.
Yeah,
it's like emotional response at the moment.
It's like how many people run around actually really walk around and say, worry about whether they're going to heaven or hell. Does anybody really worry about that?
I'm on my way to glory now. I don't worry about it.
But we don't walk around and say, all right, I've got God's name on these gates. We do it in implicitly by saying we are believers, we are Christians, and therefore whatever I think is good has to have God's name on it. That's the implicit peace. I still don't think you ever walk around and think, oh, this is pleasing God.
Would you use that as a parenting technique? When you lie, God is very sad.
You're ruining God's day.
So don't tell me that. Bojo wakes up on that one. You really think I'm weird?
I'm not saying that's a bad thing.
Quadruple problem now. I don't even know how to relate to those kinds of things.
I don't have that kind of thing, but you know, you talk about
yours.
Shut it down.
No, I've never.
That's all point. That's all point of answer. I don't have
weird.
That kind of thing.
That sounds weird.
Well, that's why I think I think Angela and Kevin and Pete are from another planet. I point that out. Are they like nice Christian people? That means nothing to me. I'm much closer to you.
But you know, you thought of me only.
You talked about that automatic guidance system of a missile. I've got an automatic guidance system. It sits right here. It's God, and it has two things. It has outward and inward. Outward is this person is or is not doing what they're supposed to do. And this person, the inward is this person is or isn't doing what it's supposed to do. That's it. And that invisible thing that does that is God, as far as I'm concerned.
It isn't.
Of course not. It's disgusting.
But
it's not.
I'm sure how many people were taught that your conscience is from God in Sunday school. That your conscience is God talking to you.
Still small voice.
Yeah.
Right? But still small voice.
I think what Harry just said is pretty incredible. Because most people that are in the church or something like that, I mean, they would never even admit something like that. So to even recognize what's going on, isn't that huge? I mean,
that's why Harry would not be welcomed in any church in
the country. And not welcome.
Right. But there's freedom there.
Yeah.
Because that's where freedom comes from, is to be able to see that. I mean, that to me, when I hear that, that's saying I recognize that I'm a Jesus sinner. Because I was thinking earlier when you were talking, I didn't want to say anything, but I thought, God, I'm worse than everybody in this room.
I agree.
Yeah, but I mean, I really did. I really thought that, you know, when you're talking about the 49 days, it started last night. When you're talking about all that stuff. And it's like, then I started feeling bad how I judged, like if I judge anyone, or, you know, and I got all sad about that.
You're really religious.
Yeah, I had it big time.
How many people here were taught in one, implicitly or directly, that your conscience was God speaking to you?
Yeah.
Probably.
You're
doing the right thing, but I don't know if the conscience.
Well,
conscience.
Well, maybe it's one worded that way.
Mm-hmm.
But
worded that way, but essentially, your conscience
yeah.
is what?
Yeah.
The conscience is trustworthy.
Yeah, like the inner goodness. You know, my mom, you know what's good. Listen to that.
You know what will make God happy.
She goes again. There she goes again. She's making God happy.
God
smile. Have you ever considered writing, you know, children's books for the Baptist Sunday School? Well, your conscience is the voice of these 49 gates, because it's the good part of, you know, because your conscience is what you think is the thing that's telling you what are the good things.
And it's culturally dependent.
Yeah, that's what when I was.
Yeah, we got nothing in here about putting your finger in the rice bowl, the village rice bowl, or something.
Yeah.
I didn't really understand that until I was reading some of this stuff about, like, in ancient Sparta, you know, they teach the kids to steal as part of their,
mm-hmm.
you know, thing. You know, and so you would be, your conscience would be, you know, it would be all fucked up, you know, if you went in there with this conscience.
God,
it's like,
really,
you know, some tribe, I don't know, treachery is valued.
Well,
your conscience is just.
Well, again, it's very simple in the you know, in the work that I did for all those years with the government, my. You know, what I did and the way I thought was of great value. Because I did.
People with no country.
Huh?
They recruited people with no country.
Yeah, they recruited people whose value systems weren't black and white. And I, since I had no value systems, then I was perfect for them. But the idea, maybe that's why it was easy for me to see that any man's conscience is goofy. Because I'd look and watch these people, and I find out in Hebrews it says, you know, your conscience has been emptied by the blood of Christ from the dead works in order that we might serve the living God by that emptiness.
Yeah, your conscience is arbitrary because it's only influenced by the parents, the society, the culture, you know.
Yeah, Einstein.
Religious upbringing, you know, all those things.
And the other.
Watch me impress everybody.
Okay, we're ready.
Einstein said, he said, your conscience is simply all the things that you learned before you reach the age of reason.
It's the voice of God to it.
Hey, Robert, when you had that experience, and, you know, you were on the bridge, and before that, you had some success, and, you know, you knew your friends and all that, but then when you had that experience, did they think you were...
Oh, I'm absolutely nuts.
They thought you were nuts?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
wait a minute, Carolyn. That's it.
Hey, but they probably...
See, that, the Bojo sit there with... They sit there silently until something like that, and now they both are busting their gut because they're taking over the ministry of Joyce Hanna.
You can't take any of it, Bojo. Hey, but...
I've learned.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, hold on. Okay, so I lost a little bit.
Well, it's Callan's fault.
But, oh, this is what I want to say. So during a period of time, they're probably waiting for you to go back to the old bowling, right? Yeah,
come to my center. That was used a million times.
So when you went for that, when you were working at Presbyterian Church doing the Bible study?
No, Highland Park Methodist.
Highland Park Methodist, when you were doing that, that's when you went to that preacher and said, he told you that you need to get some people that witness with what you believe.
No, he said I needed to study the first century documents because I needed another witness. He said, what you're teaching is right, but you have to have another witness because it's too dangerous.
You just do it on your own.
So he said, you go search out the ancient documents and find out really what. And so I did, and that was another witness. And then when he came over here, you know, many years later, you know, he saw this was the fifth witness.
He retired.
Well, no, he's at the national level now.
All right. Remember, stay casual.
Stay casual.
It's Friday. Casual Friday.
I'm coming out. The thing I'm coming out of today is
watch the, out.
Is the sickly sweet smell of this plug-in? Hey, I'm completely at peace with it. My desire to leave and get away from it.
Let's just break it.
What? No.
No, it's cool. I mean, it reminds me of the rotting state of my own spiritual condition.
All righty. I think it's time for you to take a big guy.
That one big guy has.
Yeah, even the big guy won't have it.
Big guy.
Were you telling me about my 5 minutes?
Yeah.